May you be seated. This time, Mr. Betty Wells is going to bring our special.
Shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary.
This morning, 2 Kings chapter 11. Aren't you glad he looked past our fault and seen our need this morning? What a loving Savior we serve. I'm glad to see everyone this morning. It's good to be in God's house. I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad to be saved today. I'm glad to be among God's people. And the joy of the Lord is our strength today. And I am so thankful for how good God's been. We're sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What a beautiful, beautiful thought. I want to get back to our series this morning on the family. I've looked at this passage before, but when I got in this series, the Lord laid this passage on my heart this morning. We kind of ventured off last week, but we're getting back to our series on the family. Been a fruitful series, and I hope and pray that it's been a blessing to you and your family. I hope Promised Land always has a burden for the family. Our church is made up of families. As the family goes, so goes the church. As the family goes, so goes the nation. And our nation and churches are in the position we're in because we're losing the families. And we ought to have a burden to regain those families in the Lord. We don't need to run our family according to what society thinks. We need to do it according to thus saith the Lord. And if you get anything out of this series, I pray that you get back to the Word of God. I pray you see the need for applying the Scripture to our families. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. 2 Kings chapter 11 and verse 1. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. And Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's son, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, give me the power to preach your word today. Lord, I pray that your spirit would have free reign in this place. Lord, guide us. Give us the understanding of your word. I pray that souls would be saved today. But Lord, I pray to save families, that we would see the need there, Lord, to preserve the next generation. Lord, there's kids growing up that has no idea how to serve you. There's children growing up that never learn how to worship you, that never learn how to follow you, Lord. And I pray that we would raise and preserve the things that you give us, Lord. Lord, we think about the generation before us and how good they did at preserving the things of God so that we would have them today. And Lord, I pray that we would see the importance of preserving those things for our children and our grandchildren to have. Lord, if you tarry your coming, I hope there's still church going on at Promised Land 30 years from now, 50 years from now. But Lord, that would only happen if we preserve the next generation of your seed. I love you and I praise you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, preserving the next generation. I want you to do me a favor this morning and close your eyes for me. If you would, close your eyes. Nobody's looking around. And I want you to receive a vision this morning. I want you to think about something. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. And I simply want you to think about something right now. As we're preaching, as I'm up here and we're gathered here October the 2nd, 2016, I want you to envision that 30 years have passed. 30 years have passed. It's no longer 2016. And now 30 years have now passed and the Lord still hadn't come back. And things are still going on the earth. And I want you to think about how many here that's probably with the Lord at this time. 30 years, a lot of people has come and gone. 30 years, a lot of people has passed away. A lot of people have moved on. A lot of people has graduated high school and college. And things have changed. 30 years have passed. Boy, the things that can happen in 30 years. Think about 30 years of change in America. Think about 30 more years of where we're going. 30 years. Open your eyes. 30 years have passed. Who's going to preach? Who's going to lead music? Who's going to sing? Who's going to teach a Sunday school class? We need somebody to step up. I don't know about y'all, but if the Lord tarries us coming, I want 30 years from now for this house to be as full as it is now. Amen. 30 years from now, I pray that the gospel of Jesus Christ is still being preached in Promised Land Church. But if the things of God are going to continue to go forward, God's people must understand that it is our job to preserve the things of God so that 30 years from now, the community of Hamburg, Arkansas can hear the preaching of God's Word. And I want you to understand something about the youth of our church. They are not the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today and tomorrow. Amen? They are just as important to our church today than they will be 30 years from now. And if they're not important now, they won't be here 30 years from now. And I have preached and preached and preached the last 10 years, no telling how many churches. And I'm going to tell you that more than half of the churches that I've gone to and preached revival meeting after revival meeting, most of the time I'm the youngest one there. And I look around in these churches, everywhere we look, they're shutting the doors. Haley Creek, every time they sing, they talk about all these churches they go to, and there's no kids, there's no youth. There's nobody to pick up and carry on the things of God for tomorrow. I praise God for the youth we have here at Promised Land. I praise God that we have a future going forward. I praise God that we are preserving the next generation. And if you remember when Israel crossed over into Jordan, the very first thing God told them is to set 12 stones there. And those 12 stones would be a reminder and a memorial of the things of God and what God has done for Israel. And He said when the kids come along and they ask the men and they ask the people, what mean these stones? You tell them what I did for you. You tell them. You write it on their hearts. You write it on the doorposts. You write it on the gates. You let them know so that we can preserve the things of God. May I tell you, the generation that we live in today, the things of God are becoming extinct. Things are changing, and it is very important that we see the need of preserving the things of God for our children so that they can be exposed to godly principles. Let me tell you, the moral standard of America is way down. And it is our duty, it is our job as a church to make sure our kids know what God expects about marriage. Amen? It's important that our kids learn the ways of the Lord. You say, well, I'm sure somebody's going to teach them. Friend, it's our job to teach them. It's our job to preserve the next generation. Man, I want there to be a thriving church at Promised Land 30 years from now. And if there's going to be, then I got to get to work. And Mama and Daddy, you got to get to work. And there's work to be done. Now, I want you to notice our story this morning. And I want you to notice, number one, the attack on the next generation. And may I tell you, there is an attack on the next generation. I want you to notice verse 1. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. Athaliah was the queen. This was the mother of Ahaziah. King Ahaziah of Judah passed away, and his mother seen an opportunity there. And so this woman was so hungry for power, she was so hungry for this position, that when her son passed away, instead of stepping in there and helping the family, she began to kill all of her grandchildren. All of the grandchildren that could have taken on the royalty and carried on what Daddy had. She wanted to be queen. She wanted to reign. And so she decided to attack the seed of the heir of the throne there and began to destroy all the seed royal. What a horrible grandmother. Hello? To go out there and was so hungry for power and popularity that she was willing to destroy her seed and her family so that she could have all the power in the world. There was the attack on that seed to the throne. But may I remind you that this seed was a godly seed. This was a promised seed that God promised way back yonder to King David that his seed would rule and reign for all of eternity, that through the seed of David would come a Savior and a Messiah. Friend, there was a lot at stake when she began to kill these babies. She wasn't just killing her family. She was killing the promised seed of God. God promised this seed. God promised this through the nation of Israel. And there she began to destroy the seed of God. Not just the seed of her family, but the seed of God. God promised way back yonder, I'm going to preserve this seed. She said, I'll see what I can do about that. And this woman began to do anything and everything that she could do to destroy the seed of God. She did anything and everything that she could do what God had worked so hard at preserving. She wanted to destroy every single thing that God had built. God said, I'm going to build a throne. God said, I'm going to multiply seeds. She said, well, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you. She did anything. She did everything she could to destroy the seed of God. Queen Athaliah represents the world. She represents evil. She represents the devil attempting to destroy the seed of God. She said, I don't like anything about God, and I'm going to do anything and everything I can to erase the things of God. May I tell you today, the devil is still attempting to erase the things of God. How can he get in and stop what we're doing? You know what he can do? He can get in through the next generation. He can get in through the next generation and attack the seed of God. Let me tell you who we are. We are of the family of God today. May I tell you who we are when we get saved? We are the children of God. I want you to know that we become his seed. And it is very important that the seed of God is preserved for tomorrow. But may I tell you, the devil is seeking whom he may devour. He is seeking to destroy the seed of God. Do you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to make the seed of God extinct. He wants to erase the seed of God. He wants to erase the things of God and the principles of God. How better to do it than through our children? He said, I'll get you through the next generation. And so he piles on work for us because we're so busy now, we can't teach them. We can't take them to church because we got too many hobbies and we're too busy. And we got all of this going on. And the devil has poured on us excuse after excuse. That we can't take our kids to church, that we can't raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And friend, while we're out having fun and having a party, the devil's having a heyday. Because he don't want your kids to serve the Lord. He doesn't want them to learn how to be a Christian, how to worship the Lord. He doesn't want them, so he will pile every excuse on you to destroy their life spiritually. You say, well, preacher, it's so important that they know the things in this world. Absolutely. But don't you ever put it ahead of the things of God. And the devil is attacking and attacking on every front the next generation. I'm going to get political here. I'm not really a Republican or Democrat. I'm a Christian. And every one of you in this church should never vote according to party, but you should vote according to the Scripture. And you don't have to be a Democrat or a Republican to notice that our leadership is wicked. And our leadership is not of the Lord. Anytime your leader comes out and endorses a lifestyle that is in opposition to the Word of God, friend, you got trouble. And used to, I thought that he was doing this and our leaders was doing this out of pure ignorance. That they didn't realize the road they were taking us down. But I truly believe today that they know exactly what they're doing. I believe today that they know exactly the road we're going down. And they want us to go down that road because simply the wickedness and the evil that is in their hearts. Because the devil is doing anything and everything to change the path of America. And it's working. And I want you to know that our kids are in danger of ever learning how God wants marriage to be. Do you realize that in our leadership today, he was the first president that ever came out and supported a lifestyle against the Word of God? Do you realize this month in America, we are giving more money to Planned Parenthood than America has ever done? Friend, we have issues. And he's attacking in the leadership in America. It's not just one man, it's all of our leaders that are attacking the things of God. And we sit back with our head in the sand and we have no idea what's going on. And we think, well, you know, one day God's going to swoop by and everything's going to be okay. Child of God, we got to stand up because there is an attack on the things of God. There is an attack on godly, biblical principles that I want my kids to know when they're my age. I want them to know what it's like to go to church on Sunday and get full of the Holy Spirit of God. I want them to know what an old-fashioned preaching service is. I want them to know what an old-fashioned singing service is. I want them to know what it feels like to get full of the Holy Ghost. I want them to know that. And the devil's attacking us, and he's getting in our churches, and he's robbing our joy, and our excitement, and our passion. We come to church like it's a funeral service. And our kids are sitting there watching us while we're sleeping. He's attacking. He's attacking. He's attacking. She said, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. The devil says, I'll do anything. Oh, if I can stop them. Oh, if I can just prevent this next generation. Let me tell you something. My generation's in a bad way. But I can't imagine the next one that's coming along. Notice this. Verse 2. Man, I may start preaching this morning. I'm going to take my jacket off. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. Queen Athaliah went through, and she said, I'm going to do anything, everything I can to destroy the seed of God. One lady stood up and said, no, she's not. One lady had the boldness to say no. And these were her nephews dying. And this lady Jehosheba took the last one that was left, Joash, and hid him in the house of the Lord. For 6 years, she took the last seed, the promised seed of God, and went and hid him 6 years. And said, let me tell you something. You may get some, but you're not going to get all of them. And she took that last one and said, I'm going to hide it. Oh, I'm glad for mamas and daddies that say, you may get some, but you're not going to get mine. And they step up and they realize the devil is attacking. And they see the importance of taking their child and raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now let's see something beautiful here. Didn't raise him in the ball field. Didn't raise him in the woods. Raised him in the house of the Lord. Why did she raise him in the house of the Lord? Because Queen Athaliah was trying to find him and kill him. What do you do when you try to hide from evil? You get to the house of the Lord. You get to the things of God. You get to godly things. You get to the Word of God. You get to the principles. You get to the worship of God. Let me tell you something. The devil is attacking us on all areas. And the last thing we need to do is to forsake our worship and forsake the church and forsake the things of God. Friend, we got to take our kids to church. We got to take them to Sunday school. We got to take them to BTC. The world, the devil, is attacking them. And we need to protect them. Where did she take them? To the house of the Lord. Where do we need to take ours? To the house of the Lord. What a sacrifice she made. She gave up her life to go hide that little boy. You know, it takes sacrifice to raise our kids right. Are y'all listening? Sometimes I got to put aside my popularity. Sometimes I got to put aside what I think and what I want. As a parent, I need to do what is in the best interest for my children. And let me tell you something, God is the best interest for our children. Jesus is the answer. Are y'all awake this morning? Jesus is the answer. And I need to sacrifice so that they can get the principles of God instilled into their hearts. And it may mean that I have to put my hobbies to the side in order for them to get what they need from the Lord. And it may mean that I'm going to have to lay that Isaac down, Miss V, in order that my kids get what they need from the Lord. Mamas and daddies, we got to be willing to sacrifice that our kids get the Christian education that they stand in need of. But here it is, 6 years. It was a dedicated sacrifice. How many times we get excited? Man, I'm telling you, I'm going to be the man. Well, I'm going to get my family in church, and we get there 2 or 3 weeks, and man, it's awesome. And then here comes the devil. Wake up on Sunday morning, the kids are horrible. They're screaming and crying, headaches, everything. Sunday morning's the worst morning of the week. Amen? The devil doesn't make it. He's attacking. He's attacking. She did it every day for 6 years. It was a dedicated sacrifice. Every day she woke up and said, I'm going to preserve this little boy so that the seed of God will be for all of eternity. My son don't have to be a preacher, but I sure want him to serve the Lord when he grows up. You say, man, I want my kids. I want them to be a ball player. That's good. But have you ever watched the ball players today? Why in the world would we want our kids to be like them? I'm sorry, but let's be truthful this morning. Hey, I love sports. I love watching it. But look at the role models they have today. And we wonder what's wrong. That little lady stood up and said, I will preserve. He may get some, but he's not going to get all. Oh, I pray mamas and daddies would stand up and say, he might get some, but he's not going to get mine. I've told you this and told you that. I'm going to tell you again today why I'm here today. The Spirit of the Lord. Amen. But a mama has said he may get some, but he ain't going to get mine. We didn't have the best upbringing, but we had a godly upbringing. I had a drug problem. I was drugged to the church every time the doors were open. Whether I wanted to go or not. And I didn't, my opinion didn't matter. It didn't count. It didn't matter if I wanted to go. Well, Daddy, I feel bad. Well, God's a healer. Come on, He'll heal you. Come on, let's go to the house of healing. There was no excuses. And I didn't have a lot. But I had a mama and daddy said, he may get some, but they're not going to get ours. And me and my brother ain't a lot. But we do try to serve the Lord. And my kids grow up, I don't care if they're poor in Joe's Turkey. As long as they're serving God. It don't matter if they're lawyers. It doesn't matter if they're athletes. All that matters is what they're doing for Jesus Christ. Man, we need to preserve the seed of God. Oh, would mamas and daddies get hungry? Would they thirst for their kids to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord? Praise God, they hit a home run. But do they know how to be saved? Praise God, they know how to catch a fish. But do they know how to follow Jesus? Do they know how to worship? Do they know how to get full of the Holy Spirit of God? Friend, those are the things that are important. And if we don't teach them, they're never going to get it. Oh, would you have the burden this morning? Would you have the burden? I tell you what, I'm having fun preaching this morning. We need to stand up. We need to stand up. We need to save the next generation. Jehoshaphat represents the righteous, preserving the seed of God. Oh, what a sacrifice. What a dedicated sacrifice. Look in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be done. Let me tell you, the devil wants your babies. The world wants your kids. A lot of our kids, not all of them, but it seems as though when they go to college and they get done with college, we're not losing them to other churches, we're losing them to the world. And every pastor that I talk to, when people leave, they're not leaving for other churches. They're leaving for the world. Something has got to stop. Somebody has to step up and say enough is enough. Look in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. Who's the greatest person to ever walk upon the face of the earth? All right, about five of you know. Who's the best person that ever walked upon the face of the earth? Jesus. Who do y'all love this morning? Who's the greatest? He's the best. Let's look at His life and how He was raised. Notice in verse 52, Luke chapter 2, Jesus was about 12 there in the temple, and this verse is put in here. How beautiful this verse is. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. This is the raising of the Son of God. And this is the instruction that He had in His life. Let me tell you something. When God wanted to bring His Son, He didn't put Him in anybody's home. He put Him in the very home that He knew that mama and daddy would be like this aunt, Jehosheba, and preserve the seed of God. He put them in a, put Jesus in a home that would raise Him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I want you to notice the instruction. Jesus increased in wisdom. This deals with the mental part. This deals with that mental knowledge. Let me tell you something. As Jesus grew, He grew in wisdom. Every child needs to grow in wisdom. As we grow, we need to grow mentally. The knowledge, the wisdom needs to continue to be pumped into them so that they will know. I love school. I love the place of it. And it's great. And they need to learn every day. Amen? Knowledge and wisdom is great. But we're also talking about the things of God. And as our kids grow, they need to grow in wisdom. They need to grow and they need to learn the things of God. Before it can ever get here, it's got to start right here sometimes, okay? They've got to get the wisdom. Oh, Connor, he wants to be saved so bad. You know why? Because it's right here. It's right here. He's got the wisdom. But one day the Holy Spirit's going to convict him to the point where it gets here. Will you say 18 inches, Brother Allen? That space, getting from here to here. We never get it in here. They've got to grow in wisdom. Now notice the second thing here. He grew in wisdom, and He also grew in stature. This deals with the physical part of Jesus. And we never hear a lot about how He was raised, but the Bible said He grew in wisdom, and He grew in stature. Physically, He was growing. Every day our kids are growing physically. And this is a very important part to their life. We got to feed them right. We got to clothe them right. We got to do everything that they need so that they can grow physically. But notice this next thing. And in favor with God. This deals with the spiritual part. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. And He grew in favor with God. Let me tell you something. We need to be in favor with God. We and our children needs to learn that if you're going to have a relationship with anybody, it needs to be Jesus. Let me tell you something. Our kids need the peace of God in their life. And they need to learn how to walk and talk and live with Jesus Christ. I've said this several times. If you can't get along with God, you can't get along with anybody. Amen? He's the easiest to get along with. And as Jesus grew, He grew in favor with God. But not only with God, but with man. Socially. Boy, isn't that a problem today. A lot of people can't respect or get along with anybody because they can't get along with God. And Jesus grew in favor with God and in favor with mankind. May I tell you, one of the greatest individuals to ever walk upon the face of the earth is Jesus Christ. Why? Because He had the right upbringing. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. He grew in favor with God and in favor with man. All eyes up here. This was the instruction that Jesus received. And Jesus was given everything that He needed as a child so that He could become what He became in life. Are your kids getting what Jesus got? He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. He gained favor with God and gained favor with man. Some of our kids can't get along with nobody. Some of our children don't respect anybody but themselves. They can't get along with society. They can't get along with their family. Friend, there's issues there. There's an instruction that needs to be pressed into the minds and the hearts of our children. Who this morning will be like that ant that said, the devil's going to get some, but he's not going to get all? I wonder in Promised Land Church this morning, you say, preacher, I'm here, what else you want from me? Friend, it's so much more than being here on Sunday morning, okay? Being a Christian is so much more than coming within these four walls. And our kids need to see us in here, but they need to see our Christianity out of here. And they need somebody like Aunt Jehoshaphat. Boy, what a name. Wouldn't you like to have an aunt like that? Oh, Aunt Jehoshaphat to come along and say, you're not going to get my baby. Oh, if mamas and daddies would stand up and say, devil, you're not going to get mine. You go on. You know, as I preached this series of sermons, I talked week before last about how bad our mornings can be. And when I preached on it that Sunday, the next day was the worst morning I think we've ever had. And I'm actually having to practice what I preach. And the thing about studying this and preaching this is you got to live by it. And there's a point, Mama and Daddy, that we got to be more than hearers. We got to be doers of the Word of God. What is it going to take to get our attention? This next generation is on its way to the world. It's almost gone. If there's any saving grace, it's going to come from Jesus. He and He alone is the answer. He alone is the answer to our issues. Do y'all see a problem in America? About 10 of you. Y'all see a problem in America? Y'all see a problem in our churches? We're losing the salt. We're losing our flavor. We're losing our substance and our unction. And we got to get it back. What a bold woman. I don't care if she comes and kills me. She's going to over my dead body, is what she said. Oh, that mamas and daddies would say, over my dead body, is that devil going to get my babies? Mama, daddy, how is it in your life? How are you raising your children? Are you doing everything you can to preserve the next generation? I want to ask you to stand very quiet, very reverent. We're going to have an invitation this morning. And if you're here this morning and the altar's here and you just need to get to the altar, just like this old aunt, you just see a desire, you see a need to save our children. You're not going to do it without prayer. I want to invite you to the altar this morning to seek the strength of God. You see the seed of God wasting away. You see the seed of God getting less and less and less. We got to do all we can to preserve it. Would you be willing to take that next seed to the altar this morning and pray over them? And pray a hedge of protection and claim the blood of Jesus upon their life. These altars are open. Would you come? If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, would you come and be saved today? If you need to join this church, would you come today? If you have a public decision to make, come right now. As she plays, you come.